Welcome to Big Shakti's Light on Yoga and Meditation podcast. My name is Dr. Swami Shankaradev Saraswati. I'm a yoga acharya, medical doctor, psychotherapist, and Vedic astrologer. And I'm co-creator of Big Shakti, along with my partner, Jane Stevenson. Jane is a writer, intuitive healer, and spiritual counselor who uses yoga, Jungian psychology, and dream work in her practice. This podcast is dedicated to providing you with authentic, accurate knowledge and access to a range of powerful techniques from different wisdom traditions to achieve optimal health, enlightenment, and prosperity. This podcast episode is all about how chronic stress wrecks your brain and how yoga and meditation can restore brain health. The episode is divided into two parts. The first is all about how chronic unresolved stress wrecks the brain and describes the parts of the brain that are damaged. And the second is about how yoga and meditation repair the damage and describes the journey from damage to optimization in four stages, moving from basic repair of the damage to stabilizing normal function and then building stronger neural architecture. And finally, the phase of mastery in which you optimize brain function. Now, stress is an unavoidable part of life. And while acute, short-term stress helps you to cope with challenging situations, chronic long-term unresolved stress is different. Long-term stress doesn't just deplete our energy and affect our mood. It damages our ability to think clearly, to process information, and handle emotions. So chronic stress wrecks the brain. What do we mean by that? Well, it physically reshapes it, changing the size and structure and function of various parts. It changes the whole architecture of the brain. And over time, it will alter neural structures, shrinking key regions involved in memory and decision-making, and it will overactivate the parts involved in emotional control. And while these changes often develop slowly and are initially subtle, their effects can profoundly impact cognitive function, emotional well-being, and behavior patterns throughout our lives. So the key takeaway is that chronic unresolved stress creates an imbalance between the self-aware, rational decision-making, and problem-solving parts of the brain, called the prefrontal cortex, and the emotion and memory controlling parts of the brain, called the amygdala and hippocampus. The good news is that yoga and meditation offer practical tools to reverse this damage and restore balance to the brain and mind. And integrating yoga and meditation into your life is a great thing to do. It can help you repair the damaging effects of stress on the brain and will help to increase mental and emotional resilience. So how does stress wreck the brain? What happens? When we experience stress, the body releases hormones like cortisol and adrenaline, preparing us for a fight or flight response. And this response is helpful in short bursts, like when you're faced with a pressing deadline or need to respond quickly in an emergency. But when stress becomes chronic, the brain is continually flooded with these hormones, leading to long-term harm. And there are three key areas of the brain that are affected by chronic stress that we need to know about. The first is the hippocampus, which is responsible for memory formation and learning. And high levels of cortisol shrink this structure, impairing our ability to form and retain memories. And over time, this damage can affect our capacity to learn new things and recall important information. The second is the amygdala, which controls our emotional reactions, particularly fear and anxiety. And chronic stress overactivates the amygdala, making us more prone to feeling anxious, fearful, or irritable. This particularly is involved in aggression. Stress, therefore, makes it difficult to regulate these feelings and increases the likelihood of emotional overreactions, particularly aggression. The third area is called the prefrontal cortex. It's the part of the brain that's governing cognition, self-awareness, focus, attention, decision-making and self-control. And under chronic stress, these functions are impaired, making it harder to focus and think critically and make good decisions. And this is why stressed out people often feel scatterbrained or have trouble staying organized. Also, the overactive amygdala hijacks the prefrontal cortex, making us more reactive and less responsive. Let's look at the amygdala. This is our emotional center, a very instinctive part of the brain, concerned with modulating our most primitive instincts such as survival, sex, fear, and aggression. And chronic stress actually causes the amygdala to increase in size. And a bigger amygdala is correlated with aggression, as I said before. And when it becomes overstimulated, the emotions that are generated through this part of the brain can override our ability to think clearly and we'll become more impulsive and angry and impatient. The emotions take over, driving us to react to life circumstances in ways that don't serve us or others well. We'll feel overwhelmed and out of control. So let's look at a common scenario, parenting. When someone's chronically stressed, they're more likely to respond to a child's misbehavior with angry outbursts rather than with thoughtful guidance. And this happens because prolonged stress impairs the brain's executive function, the rational braking system that normally helps us to pause and think and choose constructive responses. So when stress overwhelms this crucial cognitive control, your emotional reactions take over, leading to behaviors that you will certainly later regret. Let's look at the thinking part of the brain. And this part is destabilized. This is the prefrontal cortex, the brain's outer layer, which is also the most evolved part of the brain. And it is the region that's most sensitive to the detrimental effects of stress exposure. Even quite mild acute stress can cause a rapid and dramatic loss of prefrontal cognitive abilities, and more prolonged stress exposure causes architectural changes in the nerves called the dendrites, the parts of the nerves that join onto each other, and these particularly affect the nerves in the prefrontal cortex. So this part of the brain subserves higher order cognitive functions. As we said, it enables you to stop and think in a crisis, to access your memories, your experience and wisdom. And it can do this in a fraction of a second if it's turned on, functioning well, and harmoniously relating to other parts of the brain. It's this part of the brain that lets you assess your situation and intuit how to react appropriately to, for example, your treasured but naughty child. So the prefrontal cortex enables us to gain perspective and put ourselves in other people's shoes, to have empathy. However, chronic stress impairs this ability. We become more narcissistic. We lose our capacity for empathy, for objectivity and insight. And because we can't think clearly, we'll tend to catastrophize, to blow things out of proportion, to see things as being a lot worse than they are. And we might even displace blame inappropriately onto others rather than taking responsibility ourselves. So stress is part of a vicious cycle because as it continues, these effects build up. They create this vicious cycle where the brain becomes less capable of handling stress. And this leads to even more damage and suffering over time, and the risk of developing anxiety, depression, and cognitive decline is increased. And this happens because the more stressed we are, the harder it is for our brain to cope with daily life. Over time, stress weakens our ability to manage stress, creating a feedback loop, a negative feedback loop, where stress becomes harder and harder to shake. And we might find ourselves stuck in a cycle of racing thoughts, irritability, anxiety, and fatigue. So this cycle has a lot of detrimental effects, not just on mental health, but also it increases the risk of developing severe health conditions. And we'll talk a little bit about those now. So if we're looking at the effect of chronic stress on overall health, we know that stress plays a role in a lot of chronic degenerative conditions. For example, heart disease. It weakens our immune system. It causes digestive issues. It can interfere with our ability to absorb food, causes irritable bowel syndrome. It's involved in musculoskeletal tension, of course, headaches, back pain, and so on. And if left unmanaged, chronic stress can contribute to the development of severe health conditions such as diabetes, obesity, and other diseases. And we know that these conditions are also involved in the formation of cancer and other very severe physical illnesses. So there's this kind of cascading effect. Chronic stress accelerates aging, it corrodes our organs, and it can lead to a prematurely weakened physical state. And we said before that the mental and emotional health consequences can be anxiety and depression, but other things are involved like sleep. Stress disrupts our sleep patterns, and this results in insomnia, and a lack of restful sleep further impairs physical health and cognitive function, emotional stability, and it feeds this vicious cycle of stress and fatigue. So how do we break the cycle using yoga and meditation? The first thing is to understand the extensive impact of chronic stress on your brain and overall health, how corrosive it is. And this understanding underscores the importance of effective stress management practices. And as we said, incorporating yoga and meditation into your daily routine provides a holistic approach to mitigating these adverse effects. And these practices can help repair the brain and support physical health by reducing things like inflammation, improves heart health, and so on. So how do yoga and meditation repair the damage of chronic stress? Yoga and meditation are natural ways to counteract these effects and heal the brain. And learning to relax and eventually become a more relaxed person is the key to successfully repairing the effects of stress and stopping stress from wrecking your brain. And once you've learned to relax, you can progress onto more advanced yoga tantra techniques that accelerate healing and enable access to powerfully life-affirming inner experiences, the exact opposite of chronic stress. And yoga tantra is much more than physical exercise. It's a holistic practice combining yoga postures with self-awareness, mindfulness, relaxation, breath control, and extremely powerful meditation techniques. And these meditation techniques utilize mantras and visualizations and other methods that offer wonderful benefits for brain health, for emotional well-being, and for spiritual awakening, for raising your consciousness. And learning to relax is the first step because it reduces cortisol, and this protects the hippocampus and the prefrontal cortex from further damage. It helps to maintain memory and cognitive function, allowing your brain to recover from the harmful effects of stress. It enhances focus and concentration, and it balances emotional responses. And there's good research on how meditation affects the brain. It has been scientifically proven that yoga and meditation profoundly affect brain structure and function, and particularly in repairing the damage caused by chronic stress. And techniques such as those in the 3Z steps to deep relaxation, guided meditations that we have in Bhikshakti, and more powerful techniques such as a japa jap are especially powerful in cultivating the following benefits. Research has shown that meditation increases the thickness of gray matter in the prefrontal cortex, enhancing your ability to focus, make decisions, and remain calm under pressure. And this helps to rebuild the brain's capacity to handle stress more effectively. There's good research to show that regular meditation reduces the size and activity of the amygdala, lowering emotional reactivity, and this means you're less likely to be overwhelmed by stress and you can respond to challenges with greater emotional balance. And there is also good research to show that meditation enhances the connectivity between the thinking brain, the prefrontal cortex, and the emotional brain, the amygdala. So how does this work? How does meditation optimize the brain? There is a progressive process, a journey that goes from repair to resilience to optimization. And the journey from stress management to true resilience is like building a house. You need a solid foundation before adding more complex structures. The journey begins with crucial repair work, like rehabilitating an injured muscle. You have to first heal the damage caused by chronic stress to the brain and nervous system. So the initial stress management and relaxation techniques actually reversed the neural degeneration caused by chronic stress, and they helped to restore normal function to the hippocampus and prefrontal cortex. And once this foundational healing is established, we can begin to build stronger neural pathways and enhance brain function, which is similar to an athlete who first recovers from an injury and then builds greater strength than before. And this is because the brain's neuroplasticity allows us not just to return to baseline, but to develop greater cognitive reserves and emotional resilience than we had previously. The progression creates a positive feedback loop where each new skill we master not only prevents future stress damage, but actively contributes to building a more robust and resilient brain structure. So this journey from repair to mastery has four main phases. Phase one is the initial repair phase, where we address the damage. And initial repair is crucial, as it's very important to reverse physical damage inflicted on the brain before we progress into the more advanced techniques of yoga and meditation. This is where relaxation really comes in. It's at this stage that hormones like cortisol are still chronically elevated. And this, as we said, has detrimental effects on the prefrontal cortex, the hippocampus, and the amygdala. And so how do we stop this degeneration? We introduce gentle foundational practices designed to begin reversing these changes. Deep relaxation techniques, particularly important to directly lower cortisol levels, and this allows the brain to begin a repair process. And our three easy steps to relaxation guided meditation series teaches us how to break the physical stress cycle by activating the parasympathetic nervous system, the part of the brain that controls rest and repair. And it's this part that's turned off due to chronic stresses. It's actually stuck in overactivity driven by the amygdala and the unpleasant feelings that the amygdala is generating. And to enhance repair and healing, we use breath and mindfulness, which are part of the Three Easy Steps program. And they have a primary effect on the amygdala, calming its overactivity. Another essential technique at this time is yoga nidra, especially the form of yoga nidra that focuses on improving our ability to handle feelings. Adding some asana, yoga poses, and stretching to remove physical stress and muscular tension is also a great idea. And the results of this phase are measurable. We typically see reductions in cortisol, normalization of blood pressure and heart rate, and improved sleep quality. And many of our students and patients report their first significant reduction in anxiety symptoms and notice their attention span is beginning to improve. And these changes then provide the stable foundation necessary for phase two. And we're calling phase two the stabilization phase, the restoration of normal function. First repair, then normal function. As the initial repair phase shifts to phase two, the stabilization phase, the brain begins a fascinating process of reorganization. Neural pruning begins, a process that removes unhealthy pathways created during chronic stress. The hippocampus starts resuming its normal memory and learning functions. The previously hyperactive amygdala begins to calm down, and we see the first signs of neural growth in the prefrontal cortex. During this phase, it's a good idea to add certain techniques such as ajapajap and meditations on the third eye of intuition, which powerfully and positively stimulate the brain and nervous system. And these techniques incorporate both relaxation and more focused attention. So the addition of these kind of semi-concentration practices and the more advanced concentration practices that are a part of Yoga Tantra is a very powerful and effective way to really speed up the restoration and optimization of brain function. And these more advanced practices actively build new neural connections and strengthen existing ones, the good ones. They increase gray matter density in the regions associated with self-awareness and emotional regulation. And advanced meditation techniques, the advanced forms of a japa-jap, for example, when combined with self-awareness and mindfulness, can actually increase cortical thickness, in areas that are associated with attention and sensory processing. And in this phase, we're moving, as we said, towards concentration. And it's this form of meditation, concentration meditation, that strengthens our capacity to stay focused on one thing, to stay present and aware under difficult circumstances. Also, the introduction of yoga postures, adding more mindfulness into the practice, helps to integrate physical and mental awareness, and this also creates more robust neural pathways. And the outcomes of this phase are particularly encouraging, as people report improved emotional regulation, better short-term memory function, notably reduced reactivity to stress and stressors, much better energy levels, more consistent energy, and there are significant improvements in their ability to focus and concentrate. These changes indicate the brain is not just repairing, but beginning to optimize its function. Then we move to phase three, which is the enhancement phase, where we're building stronger neural architecture. So this is an exciting transition from repair to enhancement, where the brain develops capabilities beyond its original baseline. And neuroplasticity increases significantly, allowing for the rapid formation of new neural pathways. The connectivity between different brain regions becomes more sophisticated, and we see measurable growth in gray matter density, particularly in the areas associated with attention, emotional regulation, and self-awareness. The white matter, which enables efficient communication between brain regions, shows improved integrity, and the default mode network, which is crucial for self-reflection and emotional processing, becomes more refined. So as our ability to meditate improves, we feel less detrimented and exhausted by chronic stress, and we can engage in more sophisticated visualization practices that can activate multiple brain regions simultaneously. And during this phase, we're sort of ready for more advanced forms of meditation that use mantras and chakras and visualizations to create more complex neural integration. And yoga poses that require balance, for example, are a good way to challenge the nervous system, and they're very useful at this stage. They serve a dual purpose. They not only improve physical balance, but also enhance neural integration. They strengthen connections between the brain hemispheres, and they create robust new neural networks. And the results at this stage are remarkable. We're developing superior emotional intelligence, allowing us to move gracefully between complex emotional situations. Our problem-solving abilities show marked improvement and cognitive flexibility, which means that we have a greater ability to adapt our thinking to new situations, and stress resilience reaches new levels. Many people report increased creativity and insight in both their personal and professional contexts. And phase four is the phase of mastery, in which we are optimizing brain function. It's really the final phase, which represents a level of neural integration and efficiency that researchers have observed in very experienced meditators. In these meditators, the brain shows patterns of activity that differ significantly from the average population. The connectivity between brain regions becomes highly sophisticated, enabling rapid and efficient processing of information and emotions. And neurogenesis, the creation of new brain cells, and the production of BDNF, brain-derived neurotrophic factor. BDNF is the factor that promotes new brain cell growth. The level of this factor is elevated, and this supports continued growth and repair. So cellular repair mechanisms are functioning optimally, and the brain is demonstrating remarkable efficiency in energy use and information processing. And this is called neural efficiency. This stage, we can engage in extended meditation practices or retreats that can create lasting positive changes in brain structure and function. We might be using advanced pranayama practices, breathing techniques to fine-tune the nervous system. And we're integrating multiple techniques to create synergistic benefits. Many students become teachers at this stage, and teaching others is a very powerful way to enhance the integration of our own brain areas and our own understanding and experience of yoga meditation, as we have to find a way to communicate our own experience and the teachings to someone else. And this is a very personalized stage. It's very unique, very individual to all of us. But the outcomes include exceptional emotional regulation abilities so that we can maintain our composure, even in extremely challenging situations. It's here that stress resilience reaches remarkable levels. Meditators no longer find stress problematic. They find that stress is actually enjoyable, that it's a challenge, that they're testing their ability, their strength, to see how much they can achieve in life, in handling the various stresses of life. Cognitive performance shows significant enhancement and longevity markers improve. There is a fifth phase, in a sense, but it's really just the long-term maintenance and growth of the body as we age. It's really stage four extended into our old age. It's in this phase we focus on sustaining and building the gains we achieved in the last four phases, while at the same time protecting ourselves against age-related decline. It's during this phase that the brain maintains enhanced neural structures and demonstrates remarkable neuroplasticity even with aging, that the cognitive reserve remains robust, and the brain-body communication systems function optimally, supporting overall health and longevity. The practices in this phase focus mainly on maintaining vitality and continued growth through regular practice. And the long-term outcomes are impressive. We can maintain high cognitive function well into old age, demonstrating that these practices not only enhance current function, but provide a degree of protection against age-related decline. Our quality of life remains high. Stress resilience stays robust. We can develop profound emotional wisdom, and we can strengthen our social connections, creating a supportive environment for continued growth and development. This complete progression from repair to mastery represents a comprehensive approach to not just brain health, but overall life enhancement. Each phase builds upon the previous one, creating a robust foundation for both immediate well-being and long-term flourishing.
If you would like to know more about what we do at Big Shakti, please go to www.bigshakti.com, where you can see all of our products and offerings. And you can sign up for our free newsletter. And when you do sign up, you're entitled to a 15% discount on your first purchase. And subscribers, of course, get generous discounts on all our products from time to time, especially when we release a new course. All of our courses provide you with the opportunity to experience and understand the powers and mysteries of your mind and spirit. Unwind, take a break from your daily activities, and learn how to use different forms of meditation to achieve inner tranquility, happiness, fulfillment, and spiritual awakening. You will learn the keys to a healthy lifestyle, a calm, clear mind, emotional resilience, and spiritual insight.